To begin the first Tosfos in Maseches Chulin after a week of Hakdamos. This is the first sugya, even though we did Katan first. I think it was important to do Katan before we did Nashim, but let's learn the sugya of the Psul Nashim, or perhaps the Kashus of Nashim. And we hope we learn through the first blot here. Now, there are a number of very interesting sugyas here, which we're not going to do, just given the short period of time we have this summer, not related to Shechit at all. Nedarim and Temura, all wonderful sugyas. Just keep that in mind when you return back to Chulin. These are good sugyas you've missed. But we're going to focus, as I've pointed out, on the sugyas of Shechita this summer. So the Mishnah tells us that when it comes to, makes no mention of Nashim, it's Kol Shochtin Shechitas and Kshera, and it gives the few exceptions of a Cheresh Shot of a Katan. But with regards to women, one would seemingly assume that Nashim are permitted. So the Tosfos quotes from the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael that Nashim lo yishchatu mipnei shedaitan kalos. That's the language of the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, that women cannot do shchita because daitan kalos. Now, the Rosh already points out that the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael was written by some Talmud Chacham who took upon himself a number of chumras, and we don't have to keep to these standards. But that being said, still a number of the Achorim tried to figure out pshat in the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, what does it mean, daitan kalos? Now, if I just read this Tosfos alone, I didn't look into any of the Achronim, I would have assumed that daitan kalos would refer to their knowledge or lack of knowledge in halacha. It reminds us of the Gemara, Mishnah Sota, daitan kalos, women don't learn, daitan kalos. I would have thought it's a psul in not knowing Hilchos Shechita. Remember, we said whenever we're looking at anyone who's kasher or pasul for being a shochet, there are four criteria. One is a vizavachta. Are they chayv the mitzvah or not? And certainly women are chayv in zavachta. So that's a check. The next thing to look at, are they yodea hilchos shchita? So I would have thought the psul here is that they're not yodea, they don't know hilchos shchita. That's what I would have thought. But the Achronim don't agree with me on that. And the Beis Yosef quotes, what was the reason the Beis Yosef, anyone saw what the shot was of the daitan kalos? Remember? Might faint. Shem Yisalif, they might faint. They might wheezy, might get tired. Yisalif is really, they're going to get faint. They're going to faint to see the goriness of the blood. They're very, very weak. Now, that's one shot of the Beis Yosef. And that might have to do with the ability, the chazaka. We said last week, we spoke about the katan, who's yodea, la'aminis yadav, the ability to stay strong the whole time. They're going to get weak. They might faint. They might not have the ability to do the maisa. Shchita. So it's a psul in the ma'isa shchita, it would seem. And then the Drisha thought there was another pshat. What's the Drisha's understanding? Anyone saw the Drisha?
Halacha.
Not that they know the halacha, but it's lacking of nemanos, that we don't trust them. It's a psul nemanos of lifnei iver. They're not so makbidon. We're going to see tomorrow sugi of a shchute Kuti about the psul of Nemanus by Kuti. So the Drisha thinks it's an issue of Lifnei Iver. They're not to makbid for themselves, but they're not makbid for others. So it's a psul in Nemanus. So we have possibly all three different explanations of the psul. But we're going to throw out mine because no one holds like my pshat of Yodea Hilcha Shechita. So it's either because it's going to be a psul in the Maisa Shechita, they're going to get weak, they're going to faint, or it's a psul in the Nemanus. That's all in the understanding of the world of Hilchos Eretz Yisrael.
Say it's a psul and they're not monos, then how do they cook for other people? If they could cook for themselves, then like you trust them. But if you say it's a psul and not monos, then it goes through every aspect of what we're going to do for someone else.
Yeah, it's a very good question. And we don't really hold the Drisha, and we also don't hold the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, but it's a very good question. In that world, that if you hold like the Drisha, they lack Nemanis, you may only trust them if they would eat from it itself. We'll see when it comes to Shchutei Kuti, we only trust them if they take a bite. If they don't take a bite, then we wouldn't trust them. So you're right, if you take it really to the end, that Svar to the end, we wouldn't trust them unless they're eating from it as well. Now, it comes out a very interesting Nafka Mina between the psul, if it's a psul of Nemanis or it's a psul of the Maisa Shchita, when it comes to an Eved Kanani. Now, Eved Kanani, there's a discussion in the Torah of the Shulchan Aruch, a very interesting discussion, which we're not going to spend too much time on, but that's right there in the beginning. It's in Siman Aleph, and I think it's Sif Aleph, they mentioned Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani, why he's kasher, apostle, and Eved Kanani, meshuchar, that he is a kasher, because Eved Kanani, meshuchar, becomes a full-fledged ger. So an Eved Kanani, why would an Eved Kanani, we should first ask, would an Eved Kanani be kosher or pasul to the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael? So if you assume it's about Shem Yisalif, so that would not apply to an Eved Kanani. Only women would get wheezy and faint and weak, and Eved Kanani would be strong in the Ma'isa Shechita. But if it's about the Psul Ne'emanis, so we probably would assume that Psul would apply to an Eved Kanani as well. So that would seemingly be an Nafka Mina. Now this goes in a very interesting list of other connections between Eved Kanani and Nashim. We know the Gemara tells us in Chagiga and elsewhere that Eved Kanani is chayv in mitzvos, just like women are chayv in mitzvos. The Gezer Shabbat says la by women, says la by Eved Kanani. All mitzvos that women are chayv on, then Eved Kanani is chayv. Anything that women are pater, in other words, mitzvos asay, shezman grama, women are pater from as well. So that Eved Kanani is pater from as well. So then there becomes an interesting discussion. What about mitzvahs, or even los ases, that are very much gender-based? What do I mean? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos, Purvu, V'chavshu, the Pasuk tells us, Misha Darcho, Lichvosh, those who have the derech to conquer, to be warriors, so then V'chavshu, those people are chayv in Purvu, namely men. Kevin de'ein Darcho shel isha lichvosh, women don't fight, they're not warriors, so women are pater from Puruvu. Now, what about an Eved Kanani? An Eved Kanani, they're male, they're men, they're warriors, they're physically strong, so maybe they should be chayv in Puruvu. But at the same time, if the Gzer Shav is only from women, so maybe they should have a p'tur of women. What about the Isser of Hashchas HaZaken? Hashchas HaZaken, when it comes to shaving the beard, in the Peos, the Mishnah tells us in the Maseches Kedushin in Daf Chav Tes, that women are chayv, even though they're pater, mitzvahs, asay, shezman, grama, they're chayv in all los asays in the Torah, with the exception of which three? I know which three that the Mishnah says that they are excluded from, which los asays? What? Very excellent. So they are a bas kohen or ashes kohen are allowed to become tamei mes, even though the zachar ben Aaron cannot be tamei mes. Women are pater from that lav, from cutting the peos they're pater, and from cutting the zakan from the beard as well, they're pater from those three isurim. Now, what about an Eved Kanani? An Eved Kanani, well, he grows a zakan. The reason, similarly, why a woman's pater from at least the beard is because they don't grow a beard. It's not shayach. Women don't grow beards. But an Eved Kanani, who is, of course, by gender, is a male, so maybe he should be chayv in that lo saseh. Or no, do we say it doesn't depend on that? Since he's a complete equation to women, maybe that would be a law that would not apply to an Eved Kanani. So there are a few of these interesting discussions. So one could raise the same question here by an Eved Kanani and Shechita. So do we say you go based on the Tam Hadavar? So since according to the Beis Yosef, since women Shem Yisalif does not apply to an Eved Kanani, so maybe an Eved Kanani should be chayv in Shechita according to Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. But perhaps you should assume either it's about Ne'emanus, or even if you don't assume it's about Ne'emanus, we don't care the Tam. There's a complete equation between Eved Kanani and Nashim. And since women are pater from, or rather they're pasul, according to Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, they're pater from Shechita, so Mimele Eved Kanani has to be pater as well, even though the Tam Adavar doesn't apply to the women. Okay. Now, going further within the world of the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael that's quoted by Tosos and the Rush and the others, the Achram ask an interesting question. So if it's true that the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael think that women are pater, or really pasul, from performing Hilchos Shechitas Chulin, how come, as Tosos quoted in the Gemara and Amud Beis quotes in the Mishnah and the Zvachim, it says that women may perform Shechitas Kadshim? How is that allowed? How come Shechitas Chulin is permitted, rather as prohibited, and Shechitas Kadshim is permitted? Isn't there a problem of Shem Yisalef? Isn't there a problem of the Ne'emanus? So why is it any different Shechitas Kadshim from Shechitas Chul?
Especially if you hold like Rashi.
That which point that
after the
but certainly if you, certainly if you assume if they are different, so then okay, fine, I can understand there's a difference, explain the difference. If you assume that there's a complete equation between Chulin and Kadshim, it makes this question even stronger. How come there could be such a chiluk? So the Maharaj Chiyah said, give us a very Baal Batisha answer, which is fine, there's nothing wrong with that. He says very simply that because in the Beis HaMikdash was a Makom Zrizim, the Kohanim were Zariz, and everything that took place there was very quick and fast, and a lot of movement there, And the Rezaris are not only in speed, but in terms of performance of halacha, so they would ensure that the women won't get wheezy. They'll ensure that the women are going to be trusted, and because it's in a context of makom zrizus, so therefore, in the Beis HaMikdash, the women are able to do the shechita, but bechulin, which is not a makom zrizus, and they are possible from performing the shechita.
Yeah. Don't we always assume that we can make a kal vachomer that if they're mutter by kachin that we could include them at kulin? And Rashi in days even that way says afilu kulin, right? You don't get a. And we always assume that.
So you're right. In a certain extent, the standards of kachin are more serious than the standards of kulin.
We'd be less likely to be mutter someone for kachin than even.
Right. I think. Right, generally speaking, you're right that whatever we would permit for kulin should certainly be permitted for kachim, because the kachim standards are much higher. That's in general. And the Gemara assumes that many places. Mm-hmm. But because it's a makom zrizim, that's a reason to think that kachim actually is going to be a better place of performance of halacha than outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's
saying it goes against the what we've seen, let's say, from Rashi on the days where he's not, he doesn't learn that way.
Correct. Again, you're going to have these chilek depending on the different application. Meaning this particular application, the Rashi on Yud Beis was about the katan,
right?
Right.
So that
right. I have to look back there again, but okay. So now the Parat Yosef has a very interesting suggestion. He has a more of a lamdusha suggestion as to why women although they're not trusted by chulin, they are trusted by kachim. It's based on a sugya that appears in the Darim and Kedushin and elsewhere. That there's a machlokus in the Gemara whether or not Kohanim are shluchei d'rachmaninu, they are agents of Hashem, or they shluchei didan, they are agents of ours, they represent us. So now he says, we paskin Kohanim are shluchei d'rachmaninu, they represent Hashem, and that's only, there's a chiluk, and there's a chiddush of his, that only applies to the three of the four avodas. The three of the four avodas are not shechita, but after that there's Kabbalah Stam, Kabbalah, there's Halacha, and there is Zrika. So the reason why, there's a concept in Shlichas. The Shliach could only do something that I'm allowed to do. If I can't do it, then the Shliach can't do it either. One interesting sugi to look into, Maseches Avodah Zarah, there's a very interesting discussion there. When Moshe was being swallowed up by that snake of some sort, so then Tzipora ended up doing the Bris Milah on their son and saved Moshe Benu. The problem is, if Tzipora, as a woman, is potter, and one opinion says she appointed a shliach to do it, ayde acher. So they say, wait a second, if Tzipora is an Isha can't be a mole, as the Gemara there indicates, how could she appoint a shliach to be a mole for her? So the concept being that only what the Meshlech himself could he appoint a shliach to do. So that's why when it comes to the three avodos, halacha, rather Kabbalah, halacha, and Zrika, I'm not a Kohen. I can't do any of those. So the Kohen can't be Shluch Drachm Didan. He can't be my Shliach. It doesn't make sense. He can't be my Shliach if I myself can't do it. So that's why you have to assume that a Kohen is Shlucha Dirachman. But when it comes to Shchita, says Prat Yosef Paskin, that the Kohen serves as Shlucha Didan. They are our agent. We learned already a couple of times that a Zar, a non-Kohen, is allowed to do Shchitas Kachim, and therefore he could also set up a Kohen as an agent, as a shliach for him as well. So that's the his chiluk.
I thought you hold one by everything. How do you
That's his chiddush. It seems to go against the Gemara. That's his chiddush. So I don't want to get too involved in how he comes about that answer, but that's his explanation. And part of the svar is because, whatever it is, so that's his chiluk. Now within that chiluk, once you assume that way, that a Kohen is a shlucha didan ninu by shchita, and we know women are allowed to bring karbanos, so how could they appoint a shliach, a Kohen to be shliach, if they themselves can't do it? Elamai, it has to be that women are allowed to do shchitas kachim, because otherwise they couldn't appoint a shliach, a Kohen to be a shliach for them. That's his explanation. So in essence what he's saying is, Hilchos Eretz Yisrael could only go so far with his chumras. He can't make a chumra what's going to go against the Torah. The Torah says that women could bring karbanos, and that means they could appoint a kohen to be a shliach. And if now the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael says a woman can't be do shchita, it's kachim anymore, mimele she can't appoint a shliach, and then she can't bring karbanos anymore, and that would go against many parashios in the Torah. And we know that Taz writes in a few places in Yerodea, the Chachamim will not make a lav, or a rather gezeira, if it's going to be oker davar min haTorah.
Is it a big chiddush to assume that the Issur d'Rabbanan for women to shech kachim would mean that they can't appoint a shliach? If d'oraisa, they would have been able to?
That's a very, very good question. Excellent question. So I'm not sure if the Prat Yosef is talking deraisa level or derabanan level. I said derabanan. He might even be talking on a deraisa level. But the Isser, the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. But he does say derabanan, yeah? Okay. So it's a whole other discussion, the what a derabanan, what it creates, of lo sasser and that ability of it to create deraisas. And even though derabanan, I can't do it, but deraisa, I can, would that be enough for me to appoint a shliach? So he makes a big jump, and I think it's a great point. Now, in essence, what he's saying is, just because derabanan, I'm not allowed to do something, does that mean I can't appoint a shliach to do it anymore? I mean, women on a deraisa level, even Hilchas Eretz Yisrael would agree, she could be a shochet for kachim. So just because Chachamim say she's not allowed to, would that mean she can't appoint a shliach either? Great question. I don't have an answer. It's a great question.
I was wondering, is even according to Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, would Achirim Rona also help for a woman? Because then even Midrabanan, there's a situation where this woman could be a shochet, even Bechulin, if someone was watching.
Right. I'm not sure. I didn't see the Hilchas Eretz Yisrael inside itself. I don't know. I'm not sure if there is a safer of it, nowadays at least. I'm not sure. I don't know if Achirim Shirom, according to, I don't know. I'm not sure how far he would go. Good question. I don't know. But very good question. Excellent. Okay, so now let's move on to another aspect, another din. This is more of a ha'ara from this, what we learned from this sugya here. It's about the ne'manus of an isha. And that just very quickly, I'll just mention that the Ran and the Tosus and Pesachim, the Avdal and Mabez, point out that the Gemara there seems to say that we only trust women when it comes to Bedikas Chametz because it's a Din Dirabanan. But when it comes to Dinei Deraisa, so we won't trust women. So how could there be any trust when it comes to Nashim? If we paskin that against Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, we paskin based on the simple understanding of the Mishnah and the Rishonim that women can be Shochtin, they could do Shechitas Chulin as well as Shechitas Kachim. But they have no nemanis. And how can we trust them? The Gemara says in Pesachim Davdal, we only trust them by Dini Dirabanan, such as Biur Chametz and Bedikas Chametz, but not Legabi Deraisas. So the Ran and Tosis both say, this is only a true chilik when it comes to something that has tircha to it. If there's tircha involved, so you're right, we don't trust women. We only trust them on Dini Dirabanan. Dini Deraisa, we wouldn't trust them if it's a mitzvah that requires tircha. But when it comes to Shechita, so Shechita seemingly doesn't have any tircha involved. And the Ran says, Maisim Bechol Yom, we trust them with regards to Malicha, and Nikur, Abasa, all these different things, we trust them. So we see from all this that there's a certain element of trust. Just to read the Ran here, he says, Ashar Mile Mehemne Afilu Medaraisa Umaisim Bechol Yom Shesom Bechon Aleim Bemalicha V'Nikur Abasa. So he said, but wait a second, isn't there tircha here? Afa pishyesh bo torech meruba, mipnei shehen yodos mekomos achel vachutim. So he says the chilek really is not one of tircha. I believe Tosos says about tircha. I have to look back at Tosos. He says the chilek here is whether they know there's a problem or there's not a problem. So when it comes to bedikas chametz, the women think that everything's clean and fine, and they don't want to be about triach, you know, they have a cleaning lady who cleans the whole house. So I'm going to go through every single corner of the house to make sure there's no Cheerios there. That's a tircha, and they think there's no suffix, there's no leida suffix in the first place. And since it's a derban, we're reliant on them. Had that been a similar case by deraisas, where they think there's no problem anyways, and it also requires tircha, we wouldn't trust them on a deraisa level. When it comes to the cases of shchit, and melicha, and nikur, where there was vandai and isser, do you know there's an isser? So she's not going to just ignore it. So then even though there's tircha, so we would trust her when it comes to a vadei iser, even though there's tircha, even on a din deraisa. So that's just an interesting discussion with regards to ne'manus by an isha. Aruch HaShulchan points out, though, even though that might be true with regards to shechita, we would trust her, we don't trust her with regards to bedikas hasakin. That much he doesn't think. He thinks there's too much tircha involved in bedikas hasakin, and therefore they're not trusted regarding checking the knife that was used. Okay. And let's now get Halacha L'maisa, the very first simen and sif of Shulchan Aruch. Now, I think it's very important. One of the things that I, I don't want to say regret, but I was never taught, I imagine you guys weren't either taught this, that there's something called the Shulchan Aruch when you were in Yeshiva. Now, when we learned all the important sugyas of Basim, Bamitzi, and there's a katzos. So we bought a separate tefer called the katzos, and there's this like little guy in the inside has some words. No one knew really what that was, and that's what's called the Shulchan Aruch. So we're taught like the katzos is a very lamdasha achron, and it is a very lamdasha achron, but you really miss a lot of the basics, which is the Shulchan Aruch. Your idea, when you guys get to smicha, those who do, then you get exposed to the Shulchan Aruch itself a little bit. But even then, we're all trained to think of lamdas only. We always look at Shulchan Aruch as who needs the halacha l'maisa. So aside from the importance of halacha l'maisa, which I don't think I need to tell you how important it is, which you're not going to get from the Gemara itself, even in terms of lamdas, the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosa Kalim have so much there, and it saves you so much time as well. Even after learning the sugyas and the basic Rishonim, the Shach and Taz and the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Kiva Eger, and everyone on the side has so much lumdus in the page, it really comes to life. So when you wonder how everyone found all these wonderful things, they use the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, they're great gedolim in recent times, who just learn Torah Shulchan Aruch, Beis Yosef, and the Nosei Kalim, and of course the Gemara and the basics. But don't ignore the Shulchan Aruch and all the Nosei Kalim. There's a tremendous lumdus that's here, in addition to, of course, the important Halacha Lamaisa. Even if you look at Shia Harav, the siman are not based on the daf of Gemara. They're based on how it goes in order of Shulchan Aruch. That's the Seder. And this is all lamdas, not halacha l'maaseh. It's all lamdas here. So just, I wish I knew when I was younger this important secret, which I felt like was hidden from me. But you guys are much younger than me. You guys should really get exposed and learn Shulchan Aruch well, and both the halacha l'maaseh and for the lamdas and the achronim who write around, surrounding the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so the first Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shechita is Hakol Shulchan Lichatchila. Everyone Shochtin, everyone Shech Lichatchila, Filu Nashim, even the women. That's how the Svardim Paskin. Rama adds, Yesh Omrim She'ein La'niach Nashim Lishchot. We don't it's best not to allow women to Shecht. Why? Shekfar Nagu Shelo Lishchot V'chein Minag She'ein HaNashim Shochtos. That's been the practice, and that's been widely accepted. So this becomes there's a very interesting shach here. The shach says that he quotes Ha'agor Vabes Yosef, Hisigalav, the lo re'inu ein araya, based on a mission edios, not seeing something is not a proof. If you see something happened, so that's a proof you saw an event. But just because you didn't see Reuven kill Shimon doesn't mean it didn't happen. It may have happened still. Lo re'inu isn't araya. So just because women haven't shechted doesn't mean it's a proof that the practice is that they don't shecht. They just haven't shechted. But maybe if they come, 21st century, a lot of women like to do more than they used to do. So now maybe if they want to shecht, maybe we should allow them to shecht. Maybe it's not really a minhag just because lo re'inu ain't a raya. So he says, Lafinis daiti, the shach quotes from the Maharik, dibim minhag v'kiagavna have lo re'inu raya. That's true, lo re'inu raya. I didn't see it. It's not a proof with regards to a davar iser, davar halacha, dinei nefashos. When it comes to minhagim, so the halacha is, the psak is, we do say, lo ra'inu is a raya. Not seeing something does serve as a proof. So the fact that women have not been practicing shechita for many generations, that's considered a minhag, and we won't go against this. So based on this yesod, the Soloveitchik just brings two other areas where we find this concept of lo ra'inu is a raya legabe minhagim. This is the very first siman in Shir Rav in Os Siman Aleph Os Aleph. He says one area, and we're now in the period of Avelis in 3 weeks, Bein Mitzarim. So the Rama writes in Hilchos Avelis that even though Mikra Din, this is one of the hardest things. No one should know this. Everyone, in Avelis, this is one of the hardest things for Avelis. And always ask Shaila. Nowadays there are a lot of kulas. But Midina Mikra Din, the Isser for an Avel to wash his Panav Yadav Raglav Bechamim, and his whole Gufo Bitsonin, he can't wash, can't take a bath during the entire Shiva. So during Shiva, the Isser is not to take a bath even in cold water, and to wash the hands, face, and legs in the hot water, that's Aser. In cold water, you could wash Panav Yadav Raglav, but not the entire body. That's Mikra Din. The Rama adds, Mikomakum Ha'inna Nagu Le'eser Kol Ruchitza Kol Shloshim. Yeah, the practice is, and again, it's very hard for people. I imagine most people do not keep to this minhag. There are kulas, but this is what the minhag is recorded by the Rama. At all shloshim, one should not take a bath. And he writes, "Ein l'shanos haminhag." Very strong language. One should not change.
Same din as Shiva.
Exactly. The ein l'shanos haminhag, not to change such a minhag. Ki a minhag kodem hu v'nisyasid al pi vasikin. This is a very well established minhag, one should not go against this. Okay. Then, so that's a very strange thing. Just because people didn't take baths, lo re'inu, because I didn't see them taking a bath, that's a raya that that's been the practice. You look at halacha, this doesn't exist anywhere to have a rechita shloshim yom. So he says, we see based on this, that yeah, when it comes to minhagim, lo re'inu is a raya. And since people have not practiced taking a bath during shloshim, so we would have to hold on to such a minhag. He brings a similar thing in Hilchos Avelis. And
you
the
really should have followed this?
What?
You should have followed this minhag, you
said? There is very strong about this minhag. But again, there are kulas. I'm not saying you should rely on the minhag, but it depends on the person, depends on the circumstance, depends on a lot of things. The other area he says as well is the Ramah says, when it comes to an avel wearing big day Shabbos during the first 4 weeks, the first four Shabbos of Shloshim, it's also to wear big day Shabbos on Shabbos as an avel. But afterwards, it's mutter. During the rest of the year, one's allowed to, even for a parent. But the minog, says the Ramah, is there's an isser all Yud Beis Chodesh with regards to parents. That's been the minog. So just because people hadn't worn, does that mean it turned into a minog? And so yet again, we see this concept. Although lo re'inu ain araya legabe halacha, legabe minhagim, this is something we do embrace and say it would be a problem. Okay, I'll do one final point here on the regards to nashim, just to review. I know there's a lot of different information. This is not just one sugi we're doing. These are more ha'aros today. I don't want you guys to forget all this. We first spoke about the psul of nashim for Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, which is either psul of Shemis Aleph or psul Ne'manus. So there's possibly a nafka mina with an Eved Kanani. And then we spoke about, what about even Hilchos Eretz Yisrael? They would agree his Shechitas Kachim is permitted. The chilik between Shechitas Kachim and Shechitas Chulin, the Maritz Chiyas is a Makam Zerizus, or the Parat Yosef, that it's a Shluchay Didan Shluchay Drachmana. And then we spoke about Nemanas of women in general by the Rabbanans, the Raises, and Tirchas. And now we're discussing this minog of Lo Re'inu is arrived by minog. So last point I want to mention here, it's a very nice point here. It's going to help build up a yesod that we might use in maybe next week to one of the sugyas. But that's what Rav Soloveitchik is mechadesh, a different reason as to why perhaps women shouldn't do shechita. And that's based on the Ramah brings that there's an accepted minog that is shochet. He might know all the halachas and might have a chazak of keeping his hands straight and doing ma'aseh shechita. The minog is he has to receive a license. He has to be makabel like kabbalah from a chacham in order to do shechita. And without that kabbalah, so then the shechita is going to be possible. We'll see that inside. Actually, I'm not sure if we're going to see that inside together. But take a look there. I believe it's in the end of here. It's the long Ramah here, in the end of Sif Aleph, about that you need a kabbalah. So that being the case, so now what do you need a kabbalah for? It becomes an inyan of a minoy hakal. There's a minoy, there's an appointment, there's a position. It's an official position to be a shochet. And there are a number of rayas for this idea. So since women are not allowed to take positions of authority, as Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Aleph Halacha Hey, Ein Mamidim Isha B'Malchus, it says, Alecha Melech V'lo Malka. There is one exception. The Minchas Chinuch talks about this, a king, not a queen. And so to Chol Misimos Sheb Yisrael, all positions of authority women can't be. So Rav Soloveitchik suggests, since Shechita, Shochet, is now considered a position of authority, so women cannot be in a position of authority. This impacts many areas. Certainly, rabbanis, women being rabbis, women being president of a shul, any other officers of the shul, it's a question. The quotes down here, Ramosha discusses, can a woman be a mashkiach or not? Is that considered a position of authority? That does come up, halach lemaisa. A couple weeks ago, I got a, from the VOD reached out to me, if I know a particular girl, if she has the capability, Yirah Shemayim, to serve as a mashkiach. I didn't know that they relied on women to be mashkichim here. I don't know what their psak is. Ramosha talks about that l'chachila, one should not rely on women being a mashkiach, but b'di'eved, b'shasa d'chakev, there's no other choice. You can rely on women because not everyone holds like the Rambam, that some hold that women can have certain positions of authority. So either way, that's the chiddush of Rav Soloveitchik. He goes on to bring a number of proofs. I'll just leave it, you know, if you want to take a look there, take a look at Simon Aleph, Os Beis, for other proofs for how we see that there is a concept of women not accepting shechita dafka because it's considered a minui hakal. Okay, we'll stop here, and tomorrow we're going to continue on Daf Gimel on the sugya of shechitas kuti.